Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If it is to be life in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. These words are an exhortation from St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians. And he's urging us to live in a way worthy of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his letter, St. Paul teaches us that life itself is found in Christ, that without Christ, we really don't have life, that apart from the Lord Jesus, there is nothing. We could have life in our body, but if we don't have the Lord Jesus in our hearts, then we actually don't have life. In the Gospel according to St. John, Jesus speaks of himself as the vine and we as the branches, that apart from him, we're nothing. We're worse than nothing. St. Paul believes this, that Jesus Christ has to be everything for our life. In fact, he is. And that without him, we're lost. We're without true life. He'll spend every effort of his own life teaching people how to live this way for Christ. St. Paul will even lay down his life in this world to lead people to Christ. He'll go about in his life's journey, in his missionary work, to teach people two things. Number one, that Jesus Christ is Lord and that we need him in our life, that we need him so much. And number two, St. Paul will teach us how to live in Christ. He did everything he could to teach this to people. And when he tells us to live in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ, he's telling us that we have to allow the teachings of Jesus, we have to allow the doctrines of Christ to change us, to guide us. See, one of the problems we have today is people set themselves up in judgment of Jesus Christ and his teaching, and the teaching of his one church, the Catholic Church. They will hear his teaching and they'll say, okay, I accept this, but I don't accept that. I'll follow these teachings, but I won't accept those teachings. And this happens all the time. When Jesus preached about his real presence in the Eucharist, many people set themselves up in judgment against Jesus. Jesus, who is the just judge, the divine judge, is judged by others. He's judged by Pontius Pilate, by King Herod. He's judged by a mob of mindless people who are arrogant and filled with all kinds of ambitions to do their own will and not God's will. When St. Paul tells us that we have to live in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ, he's telling us that we can't be like that. We can't set ourselves up in judgment against Christ and his teaching. Rather, we have to allow his word to shape our lives. Our individual desires and actions, even our hidden ones, must be ordered towards following Christ. If St. Paul exhorts us to live in this way, it means that people can be tempted to live in a way that's contrary to the gospel, to live not in Christ, to not allow Christ's word to shape their lives, but rather to live in disobedience, to live in doubt and arrogance and in despair. Sometimes we have a complaint about the Catholic Church. People will say the Catholic Church has too many doctrines. You know, if you read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and by the way, that's a book you should have in your house. If you forget everything I say in this homily, remember this. Get the Catechism of the Catholic Church, have it in your home, read it up one side and down the other. You can read it and you can understand it. Well, if you read the Catechism, you come to the awareness that the teachings of the Church, which are in that book, the official teachings of the Church, that will not change and that are also explained in this book are right there. And you'll come away with this notion that, you know something? The Catholic Church has a lot of doctrines, a lot of teachings about the Trinity, about Christ, about the sacraments, about morality, about how to pray. Well, people will say, I don't want all these doctrines. They'll say, I just want God, and I want my relationship to God. I want my own spirituality, my own morality. I don't need all these doctrines. I just want to do my own way. Well, think about this. Every sphere of human activity has its set of doctrines or teachings. And you have to know these doctrines and you have to obey them if you're going to succeed in whatever activity. If you're an airplane pilot, you have a set of teachings you've got to know and you've got to live. You have to accept. For example, the law of gravity. If you're an airplane pilot and you say, well, look, I have my own mind. I'm not going to bow down to these doctrines that other people have created years ago. I'm a modern person. I don't believe in this law of gravity. Well, you know what the law of gravity is? It's if you turn the engine off, the plane's going down. Well, if you don't accept that teaching, you're not going to have a safe landing. If you're a carpenter, you need a set of principles that guide you. Even people who belong to street gangs, they have their own rules and regulations and doctrines. There's one gang that has 10 commandments if you're going to belong to this gang, and they're all bad. So the point is that in every sphere of human activity, whether the activity is good or evil, there are always a set of doctrines that exist. You got to know them and follow them in order to carry out that action. Well, what really matters is doctrines about how to live, about what's most important, about how to live in our relationship to God. One time I met a man who was a member of something called a Unitarian Universalist Church, and he said, you know, in our church, we don't have any doctrines like you Catholics do. We tell people if you want to belong to this church, look, we don't believe in anything. You can believe in anything you want. You don't have to believe in anything specific. It's just totally up to you. And I said to the man, well, that's interesting. That sounds like a doctrine that you have. You've got this doctrine which says if you belong to this church, you don't believe in anything specific. Well, that's a specific doctrine that is imposed upon members of the church, of the Unitarian Church. Well, the poor man didn't know what to say to that. But everywhere you go, there are doctrines about actions and various things. There are also doctrines about the big questions in life, how to live, what priorities we should have, how to live in relationship to God. We want to make sure that, especially in the big questions of life, we listen to true doctrines and not the false ones. Today I baptize two little children, and part of the baptism ceremony is you give the parents a little candle, and the flame on the candle represents the light of Jesus Christ that's now in the soul of this child. And the parents and godparents are charged with the mission of keeping the flame of faith, the flame of Christ in their soul, alive in their hearts. And St. Paul says in one of his letters that one of the greatest threats to our relationship to the Lord, he calls it the wind of false doctrine. The wind of false doctrine, false teaching. And the flame from the baptismal candle is a great symbol because these children are going to go out into the world. And the world is filled with doctrines. Doctrines about God, about how to live, about morality, about whether or not we need to pray, all sorts of things, what values to have. And a lot of these doctrines contradict one another. They can't all be true. So they have to guard the treasure. They have to guard that flame so that the wind of false doctrine doesn't extinguish it and destroy them. Hundreds of years ago, Pope Leo said that we must vigilantly keep the faith deeply rooted in our hearts and guard especially against certain deceptive ways of thinking. Now, aren't there deceptive teachings about everything that the Catholic Church teaches in the Catechism? Everything that the Church teaches in the Catechism, you will find contradicted somewhere in the world. Someone will have a doctrine that goes against it. about God. There's a doctrine in the world called atheism, which says that God does not exist. But that's not what the church teaches. God is. He does exist. He's the creator of everything. Some people say that God is nature. That's not true. God created nature, but he himself is not nature. He's above it. The church teaches the truth that God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what the Lord Jesus taught and revealed. But in Islam, their doctrine says there is no Trinity, that God is not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, that's not a true doctrine. In morality, there are people who say there is no morality. There is no absolute right or wrong. Morality changes from person to person, from period to period, and culture to culture. There is nothing that is intrinsically evil. There's nothing that has to bind us, no law that must bind us. Well, that's not what Christ and the church teaches. We have 10 commandments, and we have specific ways of living those commandments. How to pray. Some people live by the doctrines which say we don't need to go to Sunday Mass. We don't need the rosary, the psalms, the liturgy. But that's not what the church teaches. In other words, there are deceptive teachings about how to live, about what priorities to have, and how to live in relationship to God all around us. They're everywhere. So when we say we don't want doctrines, well, you're going to have doctrines no matter what. They're going to be teachings that guide you somehow. And they're either going to lead you to truth or to error. A good question that we should ask ourselves honestly is this. Do we want to be deceived, or do we want to live in the bright light of truth? Our lifetime is very short in this world, and it's fragile. We want to get it right now. Do we want to be deceived by the lies of this present age and the wind of false doctrine? Or do we want to walk in the bright light of truth, who is Jesus Christ? St. Paul exhorts us that we should live in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ. I know a story about two young men who were friends for years when they were little and growing up, and one of them had made a conscious decision to follow Christ, to live the teachings of the Catholic Church, and to receive the sacraments, to acknowledge his own sinfulness, go to confession and pray, and follow the teachings and the Ten Commandments of the Church and of Christ and the Scriptures. And the other one had made a conscious decision to do things solely his own way. He wasn't going to listen to anyone. Well, the one who made this effort to take his Catholic faith seriously, as they got older, he experienced a lot of peace and happiness in his life and had many good and healthy friendships. And of course, he had many crosses in his life, sufferings, as everyone does. And the other young man, as he went his way, he had many problems that were the result of his own sin. He had many unhealthy and oppressive relationships. He had been immersed in a world of lies and anger, and it was a really difficult situation. But you know, the good thing about all of this is that God is still God, and he loves both of these young men. And when I heard this story about these two young men, I thought to myself, you know, this is a revelation, or it's a example, a manifestation of the truth that there is a way of life, a way of death, a way of light, a way of darkness. There's a document called the Didache, which says that there are two ways someone can take, and it's the way of life or the way of death, the way of light or the way of darkness. And great is the difference between these two ways. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to be convinced, first of all, that Jesus Christ is Lord and he's the fullness of life, and that without him we're worse than dead. Do not be afraid to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and say yes to him again and again. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and he loves you so much. Jesus loves you so much, and he wants you to walk in the path of light, the path of truth. Maybe you have walked in the darkness for years, but Christ in his divine mercy calls to you. Say yes to him. Get back to the light and stay in that light. And if you're in the light of Christ, know that you're living the best way any human being can live. Brothers and sisters, by following the teachings of Christ and perhaps even beginning again to follow his teachings, we are on the right path. We can trust in the Lord Jesus. He loves us so much, and he wants to share his life with us. And his life is the light of the human race. And this light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it. God bless you.